Good to be back again for our continuing study on the history of mankind. Thankful for the Lord this morning for easy travel, good weather. Boy, if it could stay like this all winter, amen. Amen. But let's jump into God's Word right away. Well, let's open in a word of prayer and then take your Bibles and we'll turn to Genesis chapter 3. But we'll probably jump back a little bit into chapter 2 as well. But let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today and just thank you for another day of your grace. And we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that was accomplished on the cross of Calvary for us, Lord. We're thankful for the salvation that we have it through him and through him alone. And Lord, we're just thankful for the opportunity to study right now the book of beginnings, Lord, Genesis, and just to see where we came from and what happened and why the world is in the condition that it's in. Ultimately, the answer is quite simple, because of one man's sin, and that's how sin entered the world. And Lord, we just pray that as we learn, Lord, that it would help us to appreciate what we have today through your Son. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I want to begin with a little conversation between a teacher and a Christian student. The teacher asks, it's nothing all that extensive here, but the teacher asks, who were the first human beings? And the student answers, Adam and Eve. And the teacher asks, What religion was this Adam and Eve? And the student answered, communists, of course. And the teacher asks, and how do you know that they were communists? And the student answers, easy. They had no roof over their heads, no clothes to wear, and only one apple between them, and they still called it paradise. So it's really not even much to do. I saw it and I thought it was good. But anyways, we're continuing our series on the history of mankind, and we will actually get to that part of where they partake of the fruit. The judgment, though, will wait until in January when I come back for that. Of course, we're looking at the five different ages overall, and within each age, there's, you know, different dispensations. The five ages and the one we're in now is the age of liberty, followed by the age of nations, followed by the age of the Jewish nation, and followed by the age of grace in which we currently live. And lastly, ages to come, which would include the millennial kingdom and the dispensation of the fullness of times. And in each of these, we see instructions that God dispensed. We see God's will, man's responsibility, and you'll see this list on your cross-reference sheet as well, man's failure, and ultimately God's judgment. And we're going to see today, we're going to see a little bit more of the human responsibility or man's responsibility, and then ultimately man's failure. Because last week or last month, remember, we started in your Bibles in Genesis 1:1, and the verse is very foundational to everything that the Bible tells us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it's really as simple as that. Of course, mankind in their quest for wisdom and knowledge tends to make things more complicated than what they need to be. And we saw, last month, we saw a bit of God's will for man. We saw that man and woman were created in the image of God. There was marriage. Mankind was given dominion. If you look in your Bibles in Genesis 1:28, you'll want to see that verse here. Genesis 1:28 in your Bibles. They were to be vegetarians, be fruitful and multiply. And verse 28 says, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish or fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And of course, chapter 2 then will go into more detail of day six with the creation of man and woman. So right now we're still at the point where sin has not entered into the world yet. So it is still paradise. Sin hasn't entered in. So, but Adam and Eve, though, they had a changeable righteousness. They were innocent. Yeah, that's where we get the dispensation of innocence, but not perfect. Because God's going to test them to see if they would obey or are they going to disobey God's word. So continuing on, and ultimately, I think we kind of know what happens, right? I mean, it's kind of like watching a movie about the Titanic. You kind of know what's going to happen. It's not a big secret. But in your Bibles, look at Genesis chapter 2 and go to verses 15 through 17. We read there, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So he had some work to do. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So man, or Adam, he was given an instruction. He was to simply take care of the garden. Work in and of itself is not a result of the curse of sin. Sometimes when we go to our jobs, we might be thinking, some jobs were created because of the curse of sin, but work in and of itself is ordained by God. God created us to do something. You know, as long as we're physically able to do it and whatever we can do, we should be trying to do something. And of course, that's going to vary with the sin curse because of, you know, our health and things like that. But today, of course, we're instructed to work. God tells us to work. If you look at your next cross-reference verse in Ephesians 4:28, Paul, those last three chapters of Ephesians are really great instructions on practical Christian living. Verse 28 says in Ephesians 4, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." So if you're looking for God's will, it is God's will for people to work. If they're able to do it, that is God's will. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul was writing to, remember, those group of believers were thinking that maybe the rapture was coming or they had missed it. He tells them, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work," and the idea there is willing to work, "neither should he eat." And he's in that same chapter, a couple verses later, he says, "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." So it is God's will for us to be doing something, you know, not just be expecting others to take care of us. And especially, and really it kind of boils back down to your attitude about things. You should be willing to work, willing to do something. But, you know, the fact is, though, work can be difficult. And we know that that's the result of the curse of sin. Because if there were no sin, would we need doctors? We wouldn't need nurses. We wouldn't need a police department. We wouldn't need a lot of things if you stop and think about it. And, of course, you know, in this passage, we see the big command, at least from our perspective, in Genesis 2:16. Let's read that again. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So don't eat the fruit from that tree of life, or the result is death. This was the one command, or negative command, that the Lord gave Adam and Eve. And as the old saying goes, forbidden fruit creates many jams. Ha ha ha, come on. Oh, I saw that was a church sign, so I thought that was funny. So, you know, man is commanded not to eat of the tree of knowledge, and the penalty would be death. Now we know that being both physical and spiritual death. And note, too, that this command is given before Eve was created. So Adam's job would be as the man, as the leader, to pass this instruction to his wife. What?
He should
put a sign up, do not touch. Well, hey, it's interesting that you say do not touch, because we'll see what happens in a bit with Eve here, with when Satan through the serpent speaks to her. Now, we know that death simply means what? What does death mean?
Separation.
That's all it means. When we die physically, our soul and our spirit separate from our body. Either if you're saved, you go to be with the Lord, or if you're unsaved, in the meantime, you go to Hades, or you go to hell, as it's commonly called too. Now, when God gave this command to Adam, God had both physical and spiritual death in mind, and we'll see that when they did eat the fruit, did they just fall over right then and there? No, that's not what happened. But spiritually, immediately, they were separated from God, though, because they knew they were naked, right? And today, that's still man's position before God, unsaved man. We are all born. The moment you see that cute little baby coming into the world and you're saying, oh, how cute this child is, that child is an Adam, right? You never have to teach that child to do anything wrong. In fact, they learn very quickly. It's just natural to be selfish and to complain and things like that. That's what kids do. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, we're all born in Adam, and because of that, for as in Adam, all die. And this is the position of someone who hasn't trusted Christ. And if you haven't trusted Christ, your position is also that of an enemy of God. Stop and think about. Now, when we think of enemy, we think of someone that's like maybe really fighting against us. But if you're not saved and if you don't believe the gospel to be true, you're opposing God. You're going against what he says. It tells us in Romans 5:10, the first part of that verse begins, for if when we were enemies. So at one point, we were enemies. In Colossians 1:21, we read, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. So we're separated, we're enemies from God when we're not saved, and we're dead in trespasses and sins. Speaking of our former condition, Paul writes in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And we're dead in Adam, we're dead in those trespasses and sins. And it's all because of what took place in Genesis. But we can thank God for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because I gave you the first part of these verses earlier in 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, but here's the good news. Even in Christ shall all be made alive, simply trusting Christ. In Romans 5:10, we left off there, we were enemies, but the verse continues, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And Colossians 1:21, that verse ends, you know, we're enemies and alienated in our mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And Colossians 2:13, being dead in trespasses and sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having done what? Forgiven you each and every trespass. So the moment you trust Christ, your past sins, your present sins, and even the sins that you don't even know that you're going to commit still, have all been forgiven in Christ. So, you know, if you're watching, or if you're sitting here even, and if you haven't trusted Christ alone, do so. It's that simple. That's what you need to do. You know, believe that Christ died for you. and rose again. And you know, what a burden that is, that's lifted when you place your faith in Christ, you know, because it just, it changes your life. It does. I can tell you from my own experience. But coming back now, though, to Adam in the garden, God just gave one command. He says, don't eat. And this is a test. Remember, they can either obey God or they can disobey God. And so that means they have what? A choice. You know, God did not create robots. He did not create us to, okay, we're not going to do anything wrong. God wanted a creation that would worship Him because they wanted to worship Him. He didn't create robots. In fact, in writing of man's condition, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, if you look on your sheet, in Romans 1:28, he says there, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So, if they didn't like to do it, that tells me they had a choice. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. So that tells me right there that they did not like to do it, so therefore they had what? They had a choice. You know, and even as believers, we have a free will. We can choose to obey the Lord, or we can choose not to obey the Lord's instructions for, as to how we should live. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we what? Should walk in them. So that tells me we have a choice. We could do it, or maybe we won't do it. Now, should we do it? Oh, absolutely. But yet, at the same time, God gives us a choice. And, you know, Adam and Eve, they were to obey their Heavenly Father who gave them the ability to choose. Now, though, we're going to see what happens in Genesis 3:1. And, of course, like I mentioned, the Titanic movie, we kind of already, it's kind of anticlimactic because we essentially know what happens, right? We know what the results are. But in your Bibles, if you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we read there, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So everything up to this point had been very good. We read that in Genesis 1:31, where it says, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So I believe, at least, that sometime after day seven, Satan and a third of the angelic hosts fell at that time. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly when that was, but we do know from Revelation 12:4 and verse 9 there, too, in Revelation 12, says there, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we know that about a third of the angelic host fell with Satan, and they're still there today, working with him. So, but here in Genesis, though, we see a serpent, you know, but in Scripture, Satan is called both a serpent and he's called a dragon. He's called both things. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul calls Satan the serpent. He says there, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And then, as we just saw in Revelation 12:9, he's called the dragon, and he's called the serpent as well. He's called the devil, and he's called Satan, all in that one verse. And then continuing, though, in Revelation 12:13, it says, "And the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth. He persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child." So in verse 13, he's called the dragon. And just what I want you to see then in verse 14 is at the very end of that verse, he's called the serpent. So he's called both things. He's called the serpent and he's called the dragon. But here in Genesis, though, Satan used a literal serpent, because we know in verse 14 that in Genesis chapter 3, that the serpent is cursed to the ground. And we'll see that in our next study session when we get to that point, that one of the judgments was that the serpent was cast to the ground. So it appears here that it is a literal snake, and that would be the snake that we know of today that's cast to the ground. And it's kind of funny too, though. What's one of the most most despised creatures? It's a snake. It really is. I mean, there are people that like snakes, obviously, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yet, overall, though, if you were to ask a lot of people, majority are like, "No, we don't want a snake in our house." But you know, the serpent here, and we're not going to get into so much about how the serpent could speak, but we'll see that the serpent does speak. And the serpent started by simply asking a question: "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And today, it's very important for believers to know how Satan operates today. And this is how he does it, by questioning God's word. And that's why this section of scripture in the book of Genesis is so important. Because we know even believers can be taken advantage of by Satan. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And you know, I don't have all the verses listed, but if you do a simple word search, even in Paul's epistles, you'll see over and over again that Paul warns about being taken in by Satan and his devices. And he's not talking to unbelievers, he's talking to believers. So believers can be deceived by Satan. And from the beginning, what does Satan do? He casts doubt on the word of God. And boy, don't we see that today? Just stop and think about all the different things people ask. Did God really say that the heavens and the earth were created in 6 days? Or did God really say that salvation is by faith alone, through the shed blood of Christ, apart from works? Did God really say that? Or even things like, is a preborn baby really a baby? You know, Satan casts doubt on the word of God. Now here, Eve has a serpent speaking to her. So naturally, when a snake speaks to you, what do? You answer, right? Now, I do find it interesting, though. I will admit, I find it interesting that she doesn't seem surprised by it or anything. It's just like, okay, well, the serpent's talking to me. But irregardless of that, you know, we can speculate on that all day. You know, let's look at the answer, though. In looking at the answer that was given by Eve, the first part of her answer actually was correct. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, if you look at verse 2, it says there, "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." So, yeah, that part is correct, right? That's what God said they could do. But the second part of her answer was not correct. And what did she do? She added to the word of God when she said, we're not even to touch it. Well, did God ever command that?
No, he didn't.
He did not command that. You know, she added to the word of God. Now, either Adam, I can almost see what might have happened. Adam's like, okay, we're not to eat of this tree. Don't even touch it. That's probably what happened, yeah.
But looking at it from this perspective, and that is when a child is born, it takes on whatever the parent has.
Right.
Eve being the same way, God made her from Adam, so she knew just like Adam did whether Adam told her or not.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So we can't say, I'm not saying you're saying it, but we can't say Adam didn't tell her. They came full circle.
Oh, right. I'm sure he told her. He probably added to the instructions, I think is what he did.
If he didn't, she came from him.
Mm-hmm.
She came full circle just like he did.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I know. I think I know what you're saying. So, yeah, ultimately, she added to the word of God. And, boy, we do that today. Mankind does that today, whether it's things like even infant baptism is something that was added to the Word of God, because it's not even in the Word of God. For example, we have different books. There's, different religious books for various sects of supposed Christianity and things like that. Another subtle example is the mixing of law and grace in the dispensation of grace, and adding some denominations will add water baptism as a requirement. If you're not water baptized, you're not saved. But usually, though, the more common one is to add water baptism and just say, okay, well, it's a testimony. But it's not really a testimony. In fact, it's nowhere commanded to be a testimony in Scripture. There was a specific reason for it, because Israel was and will be a nation of priests, and priests had to be water baptized. So, obviously she added, to what God's word said. And finally, we see the direct lie from the serpent in verse 4, where he says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Now, in one aspect, if we really stopped and thought about it, he was right, because they didn't fall over and collapse right there and die. But remember, what did God say? He told them that they would surely die. And what does death simply mean? Separation, right?
We know that 1 day is 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Adam lived to be 900 and something. But he did die that day.
He did. The process began.
Yep.
The process of death.
He died that day. One day. Mm-hmm. God is 1,000 years. He lived 1,000 years.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then he did die physically, too. Right. So it did happen. Right. He died spiritually immediately. And then the process of physical death started right then and there as well. But it didn't complete until his, 960th. How old was Adam when he died? 930, was it?
Yeah.
It was a good long time. That's a oh yeah, yeah. No one's made it to 1,000 yet. Not even Methuselah. So, simply death means separation, and we see what happened is that they were separated immediately from God, their Creator. And spiritually speaking, they died immediately, and the physical death process began then, right? I mean, even now, when a baby is born, or when a baby is conceived,
Amen.
The process of death starts right away. And then it advances differently for everyone, just based on, what's wrong with each individual. But we always have to keep in mind, too, that with Satan, and even with how he deceives today, is that every lie, a good lie, and I think even politicians will tell you this, you have to have an element of truth to it. Because if you don't have an element of truth, a good lie will never work. And really, that's what we see here. When Satan tells them that they would know good from evil, that statement was true. They would know good from evil. And this whole entire temptation process, it reminds us of what John writes in his Hebrew epistle in 1 John 2:16 in your cross-reference verse. And, we can definitely learn from this as well. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father,
but is of the world. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. The tree was good for food. That was the lust of the flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes. That caused her and Adam to covet. You know, they saw the lust of, you know, knowing good and evil. And it was desirable to make one wise. And that's pride. That's pride right there. So Eve, she took the fruit and she ate and she gave to her husband. Now notice in verse 6, it was her husband who was with her. Well, I want to reemphasize that her husband, Adam, was right there the entire time. He knew what was going on. And the result, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So they knew, Adam was right there, and he, now why he didn't stop her or, you know, what happened, we're not told. But again, it shows the evilness of man's heart, because he allowed himself to fall into temptation like that.
Also, something took place there that goes on throughout human race, and that is a lack of communication. Even though he was there with her, a lack of communication. Man and woman can live in the same house. Lack of communication. Satan takes that and have access to.
Yeah, that's true, right. Yeah.
Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived.
All right.
He gave himself.
Yeah, Paul.
He loved Eve more than he loved God. He gave himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he allowed himself. Yeah, he was. In fact, Paul writes about that the man was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. Yeah, Bill.
Adam in verse 12 comes back and blames God for giving him the woman.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, and people today, we never blame others for something we do, right? Oh, Adam. But, you know, we say that, and, you know, we kind of laugh about it. But it's sad, though, and it's true, because that's what we do, is that if we do something wrong, a lot of times people will blame others instead of blaming ourselves for falling short. So, yeah, that's true. So here, coming back to verse 7, they both realize that their nakedness, and immediately their conscience was activated, and of course that's where we get the dispensation of conscience. And they were ashamed before God, and to cover themselves, what did they do? They sewed some fig leaves together, and this shows man's first attempt at his own religion apart from God, because what was he trying to do? He was trying to make himself acceptable to God by doing something himself. And that's what religion is. It's simply man's attempt to please God or to please a God or whatever. You see that in all, even in the Christianity, and I use that term loosely, just as in a broad sense, you know, man's attempt to please God. That's why people give money to religious organizations and things like that, thinking that they're earning their way to heaven and things like that. And, you know, religion, is that a small business or is it a big business? Oh, it's so huge. Not only here, but around the world, even, you know, Buddhist and Hindu temples. When Missy and I had a chance to go to Southeast Asia back in 2018, you know, you see those temples, and boy, everything's gold. Barely any silver. You know, everything is gold. Religion is big business. And we even saw a priest, they would go around to people, to businesses, to collect offerings and things like that. It was really quite, it was sad, but interesting at the same time. And we know, even in Paul's day, he dealt with this issue in Ephesus. Remember, Diana was the big goddess that was worshipped at that time. And Demetrius the silversmith says in Acts 19:35, or 25, he tells them, "Sirs, Ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. There was money to be made, because you got to make those idols, and you can sell them for $19.95 each, and you can make, or $39.95 now with inflation, but you know, whatever, you can make a lot of money. And even today we have what, the prosperity gospel, even that false gospel. To where if you sow a seed, you'll become wealthy, and if you help me buy my $8 million airplane, I can God will bless you like that. But of course, you know, Paul warned of those things too in 1 Timothy 6:5. Sorry, he talks about perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. So, those that are, those that are preaching that as believers, we should stay away from them. We should withdraw yourself from them. You know, Paul scolded the Galatians about adding the law of Moses, about adding that religion, because that's what Judaism was. And with God's dealings with Israel, it was required. If you had faith, that's what you would do. You would bring your sacrifices. You would keep the feast days. You would do those things. And it will be again someday when this dispensation ends. But for right now, those things, we don't need them. But today people will use things like church attendance, monetary giving. Does your good outweigh your bad? To think if they've earned a salvation. And that's why this biblical account is so important, because it explains how sin entered into the world. And we know that's through Adam in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we know that that Adam was not deceived. We talked about that. You notice that in 1 Timothy 2:14. That was the verse I was thinking of before. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. He was right there with her. Now we also see conscience being dispensed now. And that's the warning signal that tells us right from wrong. And everyone's born with it. It acts like a railroad crossing. Pastor Paul Sadler, I remember I had him as a teacher up when I went to BBI, and he used it as an example that it can't stop you from crossing the train tracks. And you might even cross, the gates might go down, you might cross, and you might be okay a few times, but there's going to be that one time where what happens? Boom, the train is going to get you, right? So our conscience acts as a railroad crossing, and it can only warn. And we know from Romans that God has held man responsible for listening to their conscience. Man knows right from wrong because their conscience bears witness to it. He writes in Romans 2:14-15, he says there, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another." You know, it's interesting that even if you were to go to some remote lost tribe somewhere that has no contact with people, they will have laws about right and wrong. Like, okay, you can't kill your fellow tribesmen, or you can't steal from them. Man knows right from wrong. We're born with that knowledge. And we know that, the Lord confronts them. And let's just read verses 8 through 13 in your Bibles. We're not going to look at them. We'll read it. And then I think we'll see if there's any questions or comments you all have. But in Genesis 3:8, we read there, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou, or where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, that was God, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Of course, did God really know? Of course he did. But our parents do this, or did this to us, right? Maybe at one time. Yeah, verse 12, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So we see what happens there. And we see, you know, God will clothe them, and we'll get into that more in our next session. But I find it interesting, though, that immediately, with their conscience activated, immediately Adam blames his wife, right? And that's what we do today. And then Eve blames the serpent. The buck goes down. So I think we'll stop there. Any questions and or comments? Yeah, go ahead.
You know, we can harden our consciences. You know, we can sear our conscience.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. We can sear our consciences to where sin doesn't bother us. I mean, it's possible. It can be done, right?
We do sear our consciences.
And we do, yeah. Yeah, it's not even that we can. Yeah, we do. I mean, for certain things, yeah, we will. I think we all do it to one degree or another.
Verse 12, you stated it says, And the man said, The woman whom thou gave it to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.
He blaming God.
No.
He blamed God.
God did give her to him.
Right. But he's blaming God.
What I'm saying is, what we say and what we mean is two different things. God gave her to him, but God didn't give her to him for him to listen to her.
No, I know what you mean, right.
Because Eve knew, and Adam knew. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And Eve knew that this serpent, I don't believe he was crawling on the ground, because Adam named these things, and I don't think he was crawling around on the ground.
Not at that time, no.
So what I'm saying, he named him prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't on the ground. I believe he was like another man's half, maybe. I don't know. If he wasn't, then Eve was a pretty dumb cookie.
She was deceived.
Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, because Eve was created to help Adam.
Right.
And Adam would have known that, obviously. But then he adds to it, look what she did. You gave her to help. Yeah.
Now, it was my understanding, when it says serpent, he's just describing Satan's character. I believe Satan, he was like Superman standing there. And when Eve saw that the angel was going up and down, flying, you would be as gods. That's what she desired. She wanted to do that. She wasn't satisfied with this.
Yeah, I think at this point, though, I think Satan, like how he entered into Judas to betray Christ, I think the Satan entered into the serpent. And now whether or not the serpent had allowed Satan to do that, perhaps, because God curses the serpent to the ground. So it's literally an animal that is cursed.
I thought he was already describing his character.
Yeah, there are those views. Yeah, there are, if you look into it, there are various views as to the interpretation of that. But I think it's literally just a serpent. I mean, I think just take this natural reading. So,
why put anything else into it?
What other book can be so relevant and yet be written so many thousands of years ago? Right? There is none other than the Word of God.
Amen.
This is Genesis, and it has practical applications still for today.
It really does, because you know, so many people wonder.
Yeah,
there's so many people that wonder, well, why is the world so messed up? Open up your Bibles, read Genesis chapter 3. I'll tell you right there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Adam, for all those
days, weeks, months, whatever he had in the garden, he talked to God personally. He spoke with God every day.
He did, yeah.
And when he sinned, God said, "Where are you?" And he goes, "I hid from you." Why would he hide from somebody that says God that he had a fellowship with all those years?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot there to be said. And then when he did blame God for creating woman. He blamed God for the woman.
This woman you gave me.
That person in the Bible that you could ever read that blamed God for something right to his face.
Mm-hmm.
He went right to God and said, it's your fault. You gave her to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't blame women for what happened. It's not their fault. It's our fault. It's men. Men are responsible for the women.
He should have told her to sit down and shut up. What God is showing up to me, we are both fallen.
Yep.
You know, Satan plays this trick. Man plays it against woman and vice versa, woman against man. And you see it all through now. How even I see it up in the pulpit. Women want to blame the men, and men want to blame the women. God said, "You're both fallen. You both have the same problem."
Mm-hmm.
So stop it. And we let Satan use that against us.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of us coming together, knowing what the problem is, instead of getting right with God, we stay right there and let Satan have a field day with us.
Yeah, and even, you know, we always worry about the unbelievers and Satan, but yet Satan works just as well among the believers. I didn't include him on your cross reference sheet, but I did write him down on my notes here. Yeah, if you just, like, even in a Bible study program, in Paul's epistles only, just type in, like, serpent, devil, or Satan, and there are literal, I think I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I think there might have been even more than 7, that talk about watch out for the believer to watch out that Satan doesn't get an advantage. You know, it's said, you know, in one way or the other. So
I believe the problem is living for self, egotism.
Yeah, pride.
Self-interest, self-importance. That's the part. Sin. Living for self.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Yeah, in fact, that's even, I think that's listed as like the number one. That's the pride is the bottom line here, because even here with Adam and Eve, they wanted to know right from wrong. And ultimately, it's pride. Yep.
Verses 4 and 5 in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing today is a attack on definitions of words that God has given, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look around in the schools and stuff like that, they're trying to change definitions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Satan did in verse 4.
Yeah.
Change the definition of what it means to die.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
And tried to. So that's exactly that same beguiling of our kids and our minds.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to change definitions of things.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point there.
One more something.
Yeah.
We allow Satan to cause us to say things, or call us to say things, or do things that seems so innocent and so helpful, but in the meanwhile, it's to entrap you. And this is what took place with Adam and Eve. It nothing seemed like it was out of place for him to take from his wife. I mean, it's supposed to been one, like God said.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose was for it to split him up, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what took place.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this going all through life. Our wives, our husbands, we may seem like it sounds good to do this. She may make a decision or a suggestion. Not realizing that, hey, in the background, Satan got this set up to divide you.
Yeah.
And we need to see further than just that.
That's true.
We need to rely on what God said.
God is a God of order. And because of sin, he set up order. He told Eve, your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. Her desire is to rule over the man.
Yep, and we'll get into that in next month in our next session. So, okay, one more, and then we'll wrap it up here.
Do you think they had a concept of death, really? We don't know how long they lived before this actual fall, and the Satan could corrupt the definition of death because nobody experienced.
Yeah, that's what Ray was talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They may not have really known what death
He was next.
He knew what God said, though. That's the thing. That's the key.
That's crazy.
Adam knew right away he was dead because he lost fellowship with God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. He knew right away. So.
But I like Lee's. When a husband and a wife don't work together, talk to each other, work together, say God's word is the final thing, bad things happen.
That's true.
Because you take the Trinity. They work together.
Okay, I think that's it. Let's close in prayer and we'll wrap it up here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word and what it teaches us, Lord. And Lord, just thankful for these conversations we can have, because ultimately we'll always hear people say, you know, why are things so bad? And we have an answer for them, Lord. I mean, we might not be able to answer specifically why a certain bad thing happened to someone, but yet we can tell them that sin has entered into the world and what the remedy for that problem is, Lord. And we're thankful that we can, that gives us an opportunity to share the gospel of grace for today. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.